You're listening to Thursday Mornings with Alex and Don.
GMAD.
Don is a pastor with 40 years experience.
And Alex is just as curious as you are. We look at the most important
and interesting questions about the Bible and Christian faith.
So let's talk about it.
Pastor Don.
Good morning, Alex.
How you doing?
So far, so good. Until you get that bunch of questions going again.
Well, yeah. It's interesting how sometimes I look at them and, you know, that question, I think from the last episode was, like, if you're able to have kids, should you? Or is that a sin against
wow.
God? And I was like, you know, I put that in the easy one. I figured that would be easy, but I never thought through it, you know, to be like, oh, how would you answer that? That's tricky.
It is.
It's interesting.
It is.
So, like I said, it's just the Hillcrest kids, just, I'm so impressed with them.
They're good and good questions. Good questions.
Great questions.
So. Even had a kid clarify a question when I took him to school this morning.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Jaden, good job.
Thanks, Jaden. What question was it? Just out of curiosity.
It was about who should come to church.
Okay.
Who should be welcome in church.
Okay. Yeah. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you can go back a couple episodes and get that.
Yep. Yeah. And I did get some feedback on one of the episodes because I was just putting the questions in the show title and they're like, what do you mean by it? Said, I think the question was, you know, should women speak in church? And it turns out that's a little bit of an off-putting title, I guess.
Yeah.
I could have done a better job just writing it out there to say, you know, oh, this is a question from a Hillcrest student. And, you know, it's something that's in the Bible.
And it's the way the question was asked.
Yeah. And that was her phrasing on it. So we're not really editing some things like that, but I could see how it would come off a little, you know, harsh, but it's still a good conversation. So
conversation needs had.
Yes. Needs had. That's right. All right. You ready?
Are you going to let me pick or are you going to pick out?
I like when you pick.
Oh dear. Oh, this is nice and small.
Okay. So question number one.
Okay. So maybe it isn't small.
No, I'm not scoffing at that. It's what's the role of women in the church? It's almost like God wants us to keep talking about
this again. Okay.
You know, and I even wrote on here, and this one's from Mason B, you know, to look back, and I think it's about 7 months ago when we had the question. I think it was actually from, what's her name? Kurt's wife. Is that Dawn?
Dawn.
Should have known.
Dawn.
Where we had two episodes, and they were around, you know, are men and women equally called to leadership? So if you want to, you can review that, but quickly we'll just kind of touch on this. You know, what's the role of women in the church?
They're a part of the church. They're a part of what God's calling us to. Mm-hmm. They're in almost every chapter of what's going on in the Bible. There is just a nuance of, and I think it goes, I may go all the way back to Adam as I think about it, that the man is responsible for the wife.
Mm-hmm.
The man is responsible for the women under his care. And so the heavier responsibility, the heavier expectation is on the man.
Okay.
To care for his household, to care for the church. We see that in Timothy 3 and where they're talking about who should lead.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that there's a chasm between the two roles.
Right.
Because we also see Paul writing very carefully about Priscilla and Aquila. Mm-hmm. It's obvious as he talks about them more than once that they're in ministry together.
Yeah.
And one is helping the other, and it's a partnership. It's not some great big difference between what the men are doing and what the women are doing.
Right.
So that's how I see Paul writing about it. That's how I see it across the scope of the testaments. We're together. We're together on this.
Yeah.
But God seems to weight the responsibility on the man.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever wonder if it's just because that is what the two genders kind of have a difficult time with? You know, because I see frequently that men are not leading or choosing not necessarily leading, but choosing just not to go to church in general. It's the wives like pulling and dragging.
And
it's so interesting because like they see the need, but yet the men are like, eh. And it's interesting how I think one of the most shocking statistics I've ever seen is that if a dad is involved in a child's faith, that child will have a faith, that child will know Jesus, mm-hmm. like 99%. And if they're not,
it's amazing the difference.
It's half.
Right.
It's crazy.
And then that's part of that, because the woman is the nurturer mm-hmm. by nature. And if we see that spiritual life is only nurture,
yeah.
then what's a guy do then?
Right.
But our spiritual life, our walk with God, is not only a nurtured life, it's a spiritually guided life. It's an investment. It's a covenant. All those things that take responsibility to keep it going. Mm-hmm. So you need both the nurture part and those who, if you will say, the legal part.
Sure.
Because we tend to be more linear in our thought as men, mm-hmm. and women can think in many directions all at once. God bless them.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do that. So they need both to understand who God is,
oh, yeah.
and who God's calling us to be.
Mm-hmm.
But like you're saying, in this, for some reason, in this generation, and it probably started 70 years ago, it's the spiritual role in the home is not as important to the man as it once was. We have fewer men taking responsibility in the home.
Yeah.
And so that whole role has gotten skewed. And we could say this from the women's side, but let's say it from the men's side first.
Right.
Because the women are basically taking up the slack
yeah.
that's been left over. Mm-hmm. And it's a burden they didn't need to bear.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I see.
They shouldn't have to bear.
Yeah. And I've experienced it a lot with, or listening to different women, not necessarily within this church, but maybe a couple, but other churches, just other acquaintances met, just the struggle, the prayers that have been asked for to do something with this guy, make him get up off his rump,
mm-hmm.
do something to his life that's going to bring him to his knees and see that, oh boy, I've been missing this part. And I haven't seen a lot of it the other way. And it's just kind of interesting, isn't it?
It is interesting. But it's been a gradual process.
Mm.
It didn't happen all at once, or we'd reacted to it. And so it's been a gradual process. It's been over probably 150 years
mm-hmm.
in the making. And now here we are.
Yeah.
Now, do we make a correction? If we make a correction, what do we use to correct it? I suggest God's word and live it out more fully. And then that means we have to have more people who know what it says.
Right.
And be able to exposit the word of God well. Mm-hmm. So, and we don't have
right.
a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's little pieces that have been let go over time.
Yeah.
And it's changed everything.
Right, right. And kind of even drawing back to that episode for women speaking in church, it's mm-hmm. like, at this church here, I would say it's usually whoever is the pastor, who's the man, and that might be the only man that speaks in church the whole service. And there's three or four women that will stand up for prayer requests for church announcements. One of them mm-hmm. being my mother. Pretty much the mic goes to her first for church announcements.
She is,
you know?
She is Mrs. Announcements.
She is yes. the queen of announcements. We mm-hmm. should get her a little tiara or something.
Yeah.
And
Gina would love it.
Oh. Tell you what, my mom is built for a tiara. And even, you know, my grandmother, we had her funeral this weekend. And, you know, just reflecting and trying to write up something to share a eulogy mm-hmm. type of a thing. It brought me to 2 Timothy where he's writing and saying, you know, I see the faith of your grandmother and mother that has been passed down to you. And that's exactly what happened with me.
Yeah.
And largely in the church, I was raised by, or my faith was grown by women
yep.
in this church. And
well,
it's not like we're here sitting here saying that, oh, women are doing too much. No, it's men are doing
well,
not.
Yeah, exactly. That's the okay. corrective. And so guys step up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay. Next question. Are you being
yeah, yeah. That? Okay. I'm yeah. Thank you, Mason.
Yes, yes, thank you. I'll pick this one.
Ah.
The next one. Here's the question. This one's from Haley. Thank you, Haley. What do you think Christians should do with their wealth?
Ah.
First, should we define wealth?
Yeah,
I'd
like to expand and say that wealth is everything God's given you the ability to do as well as to accumulate.
Okay.
So time, talents also figure into your wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And so your gifts and abilities, how God created you. Now, what do you do? Well, I think first of all, you've got to follow the Spirit in the process, that not only in what you're called to do and how you do it, definitely your approach is part of what God's going to want from you,
mm-hmm.
and his ability to use what you're doing. If you have wealth and the ability to gain wealth, put it all in God's hands. I mean, it doesn't mean you write out a check, but ask the Lord how he would have you bless. I reflect back on Romans chapter 12 and realize that all those gifts that are in that are abilities that he's given someone.
Yeah.
And then he comes down and do it well.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes into verse 9 and say, and here, let's just, we've got the Bible right.
It's right there, yeah.
Yeah, we really don't have to pull all this stuff out of memory. And it's, if it's teaching, if it's encouraging, if it's contributing to the needs of others, let them give generously. If it's leadership, do it diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. And then it goes on and says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. In other words, God has given us all these abilities, and I think it includes accumulating wealth and creating wealth. And that is not only for your benefit, but if he's given you ability for you to get wealth, ask God what to do with it.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you he has an answer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many times there's been a time when all of a sudden I see my bank account and I say, wow, this is nice. This is really nice.
Yeah.
And oh, I could see this person needs this.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow or another, I'm given the opportunity without being showy to slip maybe a $100 bill.
Right.
Where they don't know where it came from.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need the fanfare or anything like that, but it's given me an opportunity to do something for the Lord that he gets the honor for.
Right.
And I don't even get acknowledged.
Mm-hmm.
And that's cool.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. I've never given time, talents, energy, money, and been upset that now I lack. Or, you know, because even if you do, now you're like, well, now I can't afford that. Mm-hmm. You're just like, but you know what? The feeling that God gave me, that gift, that joy that was given to me by doing what he had asked me to do, to abide in him,
mm-hmm.
fills me up. And yep. It'll completely overflow, and I won't even worry about not being able to afford whatever that was.
Yeah.
I didn't need it anyways.
And that's allowing God to use us,
mm-hmm.
wealth or anything else.
Right. Now, maybe that means I haven't given enough, that I've suffered enough.
I don't know that suffering's always asked for.
Okay.
But
he doesn't tell us to give until it hurts.
One of the things I've noticed is when we're living in the gifts of the Spirit, Galatians 5:20,
yeah.
that joy, peace, it comes by many different ways.
Oh, yeah.
And so what I know about that attribute is the fact that you'll have joy even in the midst of suffering. Because you're doing it as a gift. It's been given to you as a gift. It grows out of the Holy Spirit working in you. And think about the martyrs. They gave their lives, and they sang hymns that they burned to death. I mean, really?
Really?
Let's get a handle on this. So those gifts of the Spirit are given to us for a reason, so that even when we give till it hurts, it doesn't hurt. Even if we give our life till it hurts, it doesn't hurt.
Amen.
It's all for God's glory.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it's at.
Okay. So what do we deal with this wealth portion of it, though, where the, like, defined by the government, you know, the wealth? Because they're talking about starting a new wealth tax, which is be taxing unrealized gains. And if you don't know what that means, that's your stocks. That's stuff that's sitting in your investments
portfolio.
Investment, yes. Portfolio. Yep. You own 10 shares of Ford or something like that. They want to tax that, even though you haven't cashed it out. You haven't you haven't even claimed that yet.
Write your legislators.
Now, I would agree with that too.
Well, okay. Now I'm going to be snarky here.
Okay.
A moment of snarkiness for Don.
Mm-hmm.
Almost every time a legislation comes out like that, mm-hmm. there's a hole in it. And the legislators know where the hole is.
Right.
Now, find the hole.
Okay.
I'm just a little bit ornery because there are people who are getting very wealthy telling us not to produce.
Right.
And let's get real.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what God's intended. So let's follow God. And yeah, we might have to pay some taxes on some things, but the greater gain is going to be for the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
I was snarky there for a moment. I'm sorry.
That's all right. It's an interesting conversation to be had. You know, sometimes it's, you know, there will be conversations between people who go to church that will actually meet maybe after church, maybe in the hallways of church, talking about, oh, can you believe this and that? You know?
But wealth is not, okay, wealth is often looked down upon in the church. And that's not the way I read the Bible. Wealth is a blessing. It's been given for a reason. It doesn't mean that you keep it all to yourself, but it's been given to as a gift, just like all these other gifts. I mean, look at it. It's right here in the gift, in these gifts in Romans 12. So why do we look down on it? We don't look down on our teacher or someone who serves or someone who leads or someone who has mercy. Why should we look down on the person who has enough that he could contribute to others? Let's get real.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a tough thing here in this country.
Mm-hmm.
We're so blessed here. It's hard to actually see that part of it. But
yeah,
it makes me wonder, you know, because, you know, technically unrealized gains and stuff like that, you know, even land ownership could be something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a hard time like figuring out, you know, since I'm a farmer. Now, I don't personally own a bunch of land or anything, but, you know, one day I may inherit it or, you know, the farm will have ownership
attributes,
of this farm that, you know, there's value in that. What do I do with that value? It's an interesting thing because someone said, you know, oh, well, those still are going to rent out if someone, you know, if your neighbor needs your skid loader, well, yeah, $50 a day or something. And that's a reduced rate. That's a good thing, but sure, could just make it free.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Is that the same kind of thing? Is that a wealth part? Is that part of wealth?
Well, that's a little harder question.
Okay. That's why I was saying I was getting in the weeds. I'm trying to ask specifics because I've thought about this before and then, what is
it? Well, here's what I rely on.
Okay.
What's the Holy Spirit telling me?
Yeah.
As we have conversation, if all of a sudden the Holy Spirit grabs me and says, okay, you can help this guy.
Mm-hmm.
You've got it. You won't lose it. You can help this guy. So if the Holy Spirit says that, let's go for it.
Yeah.
If the Holy Spirit says, there's something a little fishy here.
Yeah.
Let's pull it in just a bit.
Yeah.
Then
okay.
I do.
That's fair. That's a good guide.
It's a little hard to explain later on.
Sure.
Oh,
sure.
The Holy Spirit. Like, yeah.
How do you know for sure it's the Holy Spirit? I think we touched on that on one episode, the testing.
Well,
to make sure it's not
the
us.
It's not us. I find that so often the Holy Spirit nudges me in ways I would not normally move. Yeah. And so then I know, okay, what's that coming from?
Yeah.
Because I know my flesh is my flesh, and I have an opinion of my own. But when the Spirit shows up, then often that comes from a different spot.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, that's still small voices there instructing me.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like it's very hard to dismiss that it is the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
It's generally something you don't want to do.
Yeah. God bless you.
Yeah, which is the fun part. You're just like, oh, I guess that does make sense. That checked out.
It checks out, I'm afraid. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Will you pray us out, Don?
We can do that.
All right.
Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for this time together. We thank you for these questions and the young people who shared them with us. And we pray, Lord, for the person who's listening today that maybe they've heard something that carries them a little closer to you and to understand what you've called us to do through your holy word. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. And have a great week. And we'll see you next week.
Lord willing.
Bye. Thanks again for joining us for this episode. We are both having a ton of fun making these videos and episodes. And if you're having fun too, please tell a friend about this and help us to grow this mission. Thank you and God bless.